name. I bless your name.
Is that okay? Can you give me a Lord King?
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Elijah,
I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name.
I bless your name. Hallelujah. We give you honor. We give you the praise. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Truth, the way. Hallelujah. Bless your name, King Jesus. We bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. We bless your name. Sing from your heart to him. We bless. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, we bless your name. Yes, we bless your name. Amen. How many want to bless his name today? Praise his name tonight. Give him glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate that. And while you're standing, I'll have you open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. How many believes that faith comes by hearing the word of God? And actually hearing the word of God preached, spoken, any form that the word of God can enter your ears is a way to have faith grow within you. Amen. So our goal tonight is just to increase your faith. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, these words. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. How do you like those three words? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, let's at least ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Lord, we just thank you for the word. It is life. It is food for our souls. It is causing not only faith to be saved, faith to be redeemed, faith to be delivered, faith to be healed. Same word, Lord, but also faith to be changed, raptured, transformed. Oh God, your word is above everything else. It is above our even our necessary food. Your word, oh Lord, is more important to us than our next meal. It is a spiritual meal that will transform us from the inside out. And we want to thank you, Father, and I trust that you're going to speak to us tonight and help us to absorb it, utilize it. May it become part of our supernatural bloodstream. May it become of the very fibers of our being in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to speak tonight that you were created for big dreams. Created to dream big, if you want to put a title on it. How many believes you were created to dream big? Amen. Hallelujah. How many believes that God has an amazing plan? He's an amazing creator. He invented, designed the whole universe. How many believes that God has a tremendous plan, and part of his plan was sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins? Amen. He came himself, became a man, died as a man on the cross so you could be relieved of your sins and the debt of your sins. And also he rose again the third day to show and demonstrate he's going to raise you up again. Amen. And he's coming back again. Do you believe that? Part of the plan? And we're so excited that we get to be part of that big plan. Amen. Maybe even in our day. I feel like it will be, don't you? Hallelujah. There was a guy by the name of Marty Grant. He joined a football team in high school, I believe it was. And he was playing, and he was just a 5'9" guy. He wasn't real tall, 5'10". He didn't grow any taller than that. And finally, one day, the coach pulled him aside, and he said, "Marty, I'm really sorry, I hate to tell you this, but I got to be honest with you, you're just too short. You're just too short to play football." Wasn't a thing you can do about that, right? You can't change your height. Well, he didn't let that stop him. Instead, he kept thinking, "I can do this, I can do this, I can do this." And he just kept dreaming bigger than the negative words he was getting. And he found his way in college playing football, and ultimately was able to play some pro ball. He was what happened was he actually became the quarterback. Pretty amazing, Marty Grant. What a great thing. But he made a statement that I never forgot, and I always like this. He said, if your why, you know, your why is your reason, your purpose in life, your main vision for your life. If your why is big enough, your how will find a way. If your why is big enough, your how will find a way. So many people do not strike out to try to accomplish something special in their life because they're so afraid they don't know how. I just don't know how. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do this? And they don't realize the simple solution is get your why big enough, all the hows will come. The right people will show up, the right events will show up, the right doors will shut, the right doors will open. Everything will come and fall into place if your why is big enough. Can you say amen? Amen. How many is going in a rapture? Amen. Then what's going to stop it? Do you have that big of a why? How many here are going to see the Lord Jesus one of these days and fall at his feet and cast your crowns and rise up, and hopefully we'll be embracing him. I'm sure we will. I believe Jesus is a hugger. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a great time. How many sees that? Do you see it? Do you have a vision? Do you picture it? The Bible keeps telling the story over and over, hoping somebody will catch the vision, that we'll walk with him. We'll talk with him. We'll be with him. We already experience his presence now. So I want to speak about you were created to dream big. God didn't create you to dream small. Now, the fact that we dream small is because we are programmed against the design of the Creator to dream small. And unfortunately, it's just the way we are with a lot of things. How many has had things in your life that you used incorrectly and it finally maybe broke on you? And then you read the book and it's, oh, I've been doing it. Or how many had something in life that didn't break on you, like maybe even your cell phone? One day I was looking at my phone and I started messing around in settings. You know, who goes to settings, right? That's about as boring as you can get. And I started realizing this thing is really powerful. I can do this and that. I can control calls. I can control this. I can do that. And I'm like, I literally spent an hour on it. I go, I'm not even hardly through this thing. I can do so much. We don't realize sometimes how powerful the tools we have in our lives are, and so we use them in a limited way. And God did not design you to be used in a limited way. So we have to realize, how many here could say, I feel like that's true. I feel like I'm still limited in how much I can be used. Over the centuries, probably the last 100 years or so maybe, there's always been this concept out there that we only use 5% or 10% of our brain. How many's heard that before? Now, I don't know what about you, but I remember hearing when I was growing up, I'm only using 1%. So, you know, that was parents feel like the kids are only using 1%. That's pretty bad. But I don't know how true that is or how untrue that is. They have different ways of measuring that. But the fact of the matter is, I sense that there's a truth to that, because it seems that we have so much more potential that ends up being put in the closet and put away for several reasons. And we can get into the reasons, and it doesn't really matter because that's not going to be the subject tonight. But the reasons sometimes are we got hurt, or we tried, or we tried to do something big and it failed, and I don't ever want to be hurt again. I don't ever want to try again because it's not worth it to me. And so for that reason, we closet stuff. We put away those great capabilities that we really have because we don't want to hurt other people's feelings. We don't want anyone to get upset with us. But the fact of the matter that Brother Branham said this, he said, anyone that ever amounted to a hill of beans was somebody who went out and got something done. And if they didn't have a way, they made a way. And I believe that hopefully either you're going to pull things out of the closet and brush off dreams and get back into it, or you're going to at least get inspired again to start over, start fresh. Or if you already are dreaming big, this will just put some fuel in your tank. Amen? We have a big tank. We can fill it up. We can really go places. So how many here wants to just hopefully get through life and that's it? Nobody? There's a lot of people that feel that way. You must be an odd group of people. How many here feels like, I want to do something in this life? I don't want to just have come and gone and I did nothing. I want to do something. I don't know what it is. It doesn't really matter what it is. I just feel in my heart that God has me here for something. And going into rapture is just a crescendo. That's just like the big frosting on the cake. But I want to do the cake thing. How many wants to do a cake thing? Amen? Not a one-layer cake, two-layer, three-layer, maybe three- or four-layer cake, a wedding cake. Hallelujah? Some of you want to do a pound cake. I like seven-pound cakes. I like eating those lava cakes. You know what I'm saying? The ones with all that chocolate in the middle, and you go to cut it, and it's all over the place. I want to do whatever God called me to do on this earth. And it may be preaching. That's what I'm doing. But it may be more than that. What's wrong with dreaming bigger? So if you can tell me, if you can tell yourself right now, and maybe have a conversation with the Lord tonight sometime after this service, Lord, I don't feel like I'm fully doing what you called me to do. I want to really do that. I don't know what it is. I don't know how. It doesn't matter. And I want to encourage you, don't worry about the how. That's a mistake of a lot of people. Do not think about the how. Don't worry about the how. Spend 90% of your time on the why. And the 10% will be on the how that the why reveals to you. Don't spend any time trying to research how to do something. Just focus on why. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What does God want me to accomplish? If your why is big enough, your how will find a way. And it will be accomplished in your life. You believe that? Now, I want to just kind of do four things that we're going to dare to do. We're going to dare to dream big. How many wants to dare to dream big? Genesis 1:1, you know, the Bible very clearly says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that correct? And then it's funny because in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning, almost repeating, but in the beginning was the Word. And I love that, don't you? The word was there is a very interesting word. It means has been existing. In the beginning has been existing the Word. Meaning that when the beginning started, the Word was already around. How many believes the Word was around before the beginning? Because finally it says in John 1:1, and the Word was God. You believe that? So we know that Christ is God. We understand the Word is speaking about is Jesus because the Word became flesh, and we know that was speaking about Jesus. And the Word was God. But what I'm trying to get to you is to understand that word is very interesting, and it brings us a little deeper understanding about God in Genesis 1:1 when he did create, because all it says there is Elohim. But what it's trying to tell us there is that God created everything through his word, which is Christ. Do you believe it? So, and it's interesting because the Greek word has a lot more nuances than the Hebrew words do. Some Hebrew words have that meaning too, but in this case, it's very powerful because it's almost like Genesis 1:1 is written for Sunday school kids, but John 1:1 is written for the adult class. So logos, which is the term in Greek for word, has an interesting, it means a lot of different things, but generally speaking, it means not only words that are coming out of your mouth, it does mean that. It also means the thought behind the word. You getting somewhere? And so what it's letting us know is that before God, created and he dreamed big. He was dreaming about it. He was thinking about it. The thought was there. Before there can be a word, there has to be a thought behind the word. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you do speak without thinking. But none of us really can speak without having the thought behind it. In order to have a grasp on a language that you speak, you have to know the thoughts behind it. Thinking in the language is what makes you fluent. So I share that with you because I truly believe that God dreamed big. Look at the universe. What a masterpiece. Even the earth itself. If the only thing God made was the earth and maybe a sun out there, that'd be pretty amazing. But he made everything out there is so tremendous. They say now that they believe there are so many stars in the universe that there is not as many pebbles on the beaches in of all the world, this whole earth we live on, to match up the number. There are more stars than there are pebbles or little sand grains on the beaches in the world, on the globe. It's hard to believe, but that's what these scientists are saying. I trust their word. But why did God do that? He dreamed something amazing. He dreamed something big. And then he not only dreamed it or thought it, but he spoke it. And then he spoke it, and Brother Branham says, when God said, let there be, he didn't just say it. He said it, and then he believed his own word. He believed his own word. This is Genesis 1:1 is a gene seed chapter of the whole Bible. It's setting up a pattern for all God's children. Do you believe that? That God wants you to get back to dreaming it, feeling it, thinking it, and then speaking it. And then believing it in that order. And then acting on it. And then watch the fruit of that big dream come to pass in your life. So we're going to go through four things. Number one, dare to ask for it. Dare to ask for it. So really number one is think. But I'm going to use it in this order. We could go in the other order. Think first and then speak. But that's true. But I'm just following the order of Ephesians 3 that says God's going to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all we ask or think. And it may be in that order only because sometimes we ask without thinking and other times we think first, but it doesn't matter because it's showing the order that both asking and thinking are important to God, because if you think it, as far as God's concerned, you're asking for it. Praise the Lord. How many was thinking, oh, the weather's so beautiful yesterday, the day before, right? But were there other days when you were thinking, oh, the weather's horrible? Remember what you think you're asking for. So be aware that whatever you ask for, you receive. Amen? So dare to ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. How many believes Jesus' words are true? If you ask for it, you will receive it. So ask for it, but ask without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The Bible is teaching us that we have to develop a language. Start speaking it. You know, it's interesting. John 1:1 is speaking about how God, what mode or method rather God used to speak the whole universe into existence. And he used his word. Do you believe that? So what it's telling us is that it's his word, God's word. Wherever God's word is, there's his authority. And ultimately it says that those who believed in God's word, and Jesus Christ, by the way, the man who walked around on earth was the word made flesh. He was God's full expression of God's personhood on the earth. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what a redeemed man would look like, look at Jesus. In either way you look at it, Jesus is the focal point. He's the focal point of us, humanity, and he's the focal point of God, deity. When God wants to see what his perfect child or perfect family is going to look like, he looks at Jesus. When we want to see what a perfect God looks like, we look at Jesus. And Jesus is the mediator between God and man. So he's the connector. And so John 1:1 finally says, and those who believed on him, the word made flesh, those who believed and received him, to them gave he the privilege, the right. You see it in King James, the right. That's pretty close. Privilege is also a word, but I don't like either one of those words. The word there is actually the authority. Gave them the authority to become sons and daughters of God. Isn't that powerful? In the Greek language, sons can also mean sons and daughters. Brethren can also mean brothers and sisters. It's just like in Spanish, I think maybe in French too, but in Spanish, if you see a group of people, men and women, boys and girls, and you're calling them, you want to say brothers and sisters, you can say brothers and sisters, or you can say hermanos, which is the plural of masculine plural, but it means all you guys. But it can be girls and guys can be in there. But if you said hermanas, then that means, I hope I'm right, sister, then that's just sisters, a group of sisters. In French, I don't know, but I'm assuming other languages are very similar and do the same thing. In Greek, it's the same way. So every time you read brothers, brethren in the Bible, it's not always brothers. You have to look at if it's just men standing there. If you're talking to 12 apostles, then it's probably going to be brethren. But if it's a whole group, then it's oftentimes brothers, sisters. So I share that with you because I want you to understand that sons is the same way. In the particular wording there, it means sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Certainly God doesn't just have sons. But in the Greek language, it is termed that way to gather in the whole group. Authority. Authority to become offspring, sons and daughters of God. In other words, the authority to do what he did. The authority to dream it. The authority to think it. The authority to speak it. The authority to have it. To receive it. To act on it. You have that same authority. He's granting to you. The beginning of John ends with the beginning and the end are connected. The authority is going to come because God's word is going to give you a new birth. And you're going to be born again by the word of Almighty God. Amen. And that new birth starts you in a new life. Whereas you started in this world, birthed from your mom and dad, to live under a so-called authority, right? We have certain inalienable rights, certain American rights, certain Canadian rights, certain whatever rights, world rights. We have certain rights. But when you're born again, your rights get elevated to a different level. Now you have rights that transpose across all dimensions. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with rights that go through all dimensions. Satan can no longer give you a disease. If the devil gives you a disease, you have an American right to go to the doctor and get some healing, maybe, help, operation. That's your right. You have a right to do that. You have a right to go sign up at the Registrar of Voters and become a voter in this country. And I think that's a good idea. You have a right to do those things. You have a right, but you also have a right that when you're born again, you get to place your vote on Jesus. You know, like you're at a battle. If you're at a boxing game and a boxing match, and you have a right to put a bet on who's going to win. And I see Jesus and the devil in the. Guess who's going to win? Anybody want to bet? Anybody want to bet on that one? You have a right to vote on who's going to win. I voted for Jesus, and he's going to win. Hallelujah! Do you love him? So number one, you want to dream big. You want to start. You want to ask. You want to speak it. You have to get there as quick as you can. And sometimes I like putting ask or speak first because sometimes it's a little bit harder. It's like an engine. It's hard to get the engine started on a cold winter day. Getting our thinking to start working, to get behind, to happen and then start speaking is normally the way we should work. But unfortunately, like I said, we've all been pre-programmed in kind of in a bad way. So let's start with something you can control pretty quickly. You can speak it. You can speak it even before you can fully think on it. Because your word has so much power that it can actually help get the engine running faster. It can actually influence your thinking. Here's what I mean. If you think it, your mind and your brain are impacted by that to a certain extent. But when you speak it, your whole entire being is impacted. Even if you are struggling with believing it. We're not even there yet. We didn't get to believe it yet. So, in other words, if your mind and your brain and your head and your ears and your body and your soul, every part of you is hearing words coming out of your mouth about what you expect. I expect to be healed. I expect to be delivered. I don't know if it can happen. I don't know if I even believe it. But I'm going to speak it anyway. This will happen to me. I will live and not die. And I will testify that my Lord is good. Amen. It's good to have the inspiration, but the inspiration could come later. Does that make sense? So that's why Jesus starts with ask. And you shall receive. Does that make sense? It's something you can do while you're sitting there. How many can ask for something while you're sitting right where you're at? Jesus starts with ask. Ask, and you shall receive. And then he adds something. If you want to reinforce the asking, then seek, and you will find. Right? Now, seeking you can't do while you're sitting there. You get the picture? Asking you can do right where you're at. Seeking requires you to move from where you're at to where you want to go. There's some action. There's going to be activity on your part to move from, I've already asked, I've put in the request, now I'm going to go forward. It would be the same thing as you pick up the phone and you call the restaurant and you say, I'd like to make reservations for tonight, 7 o'clock, for me and my friend or spouse or whoever, and they set it up. Now you've asked. What if you don't show up? Oh, well, they'll give you a seat to somebody else. Next time you call, they might not like you very much. But you get the next thing. You must seek. Now you must drive. You must go on your Google Maps or whatever you got to do and find a way, or just if you're good at maps or know how to do it yourself, just find your way to the restaurant and get there on time. And then you're seeking. And then when you get to the restaurant, you need to knock and it shall be open. So Jesus gives three things that accomplish his goals in your life. First, ask. When you first ask for something that you're dreaming big about, it may be impossible. It may seem like you can't even do it. But don't worry about that. Just keep on asking and then start seeking. Start watching for it. Start looking for it. Start going after it. Understand that if you keep flipping stones, you're going to find something sooner or later. If you're going to take the little machine and go out to the sand and move it back and forth, you know, the little metal detector, you will eventually find something. And then when you find it, then you have to dig. Then you have to knock and go get it. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? You have authority to do it. So this is a little bit of practical something I want to give you. Schedule concentrated time to ask. You should ask without ceasing, but you should also schedule time when you have a concentrated time to ask. And if you say, well, Brother Elijah, I don't even know what my dream is or what I should be dreaming big about or what my why is, schedule a concentrated time to ask. Ask God, Lord, what is my why? Even the Bible teaches us that we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. We don't even know how to ask like we should. But that's why we pray anyway, so that the Holy Spirit can do it for us and teach us how. Jesus taught how, and so did John, and so does the Holy Spirit in your life. So that's number one. Number one, dare to ask big things. Ask. Number two, dare to think on it. And I have it in this order because I think it helps. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We get, we receive, we become what we think about the most. Does that make sense? And this will help you if you start to be a little more mindful, which the Bible teaches us how to be mindful, even though the world's just figuring that out. Now they're writing books on it. Mindfulness, it's a new discovery. Thank the Lord, people are going to start thinking again. But be a little more mindful about yourself. What? Do an assessment every day. End your day and start thinking, what did I think about the most today? And you'll start catching yourself during the day, what am I thinking about? Why am I thinking that? And because whatever you think about the most, that's the seed that plants your crop. And we don't want some crops that we are getting in our lives. Is that correct? So we need to stop planting them then. If you don't like what you always get, or how's it go? If you don't like what you always got, don't think what you always thought. Or if you keep thinking what you've always thought, you'll keep getting what you've always got. So keep that in mind. If you like it, then keep thinking it. Think on these things, the Bible says. There's nothing negative in there. It's all positive. Think on these things. Lovely. Things that you would love to have in your life. Beautiful. Things that you think are beautiful, have those in your life. Think on these things. Keep thinking on these things, and those things will start showing up in your life. Hallelujah. And so think about it constantly. Whatever you think about the most, that's what you're going to receive. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, think about Him all the time. I remember this young guy. He said, he was praying and crying out to God. I said, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. I'm seeking the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, why? Why do you want the Holy Spirit? You ever have anyone ever ask you that? You know, why do you want the Holy Spirit? And he started talking about it, and he had his reasons. And he said, well, because I can't overcome without the Holy Spirit. I need to overcome. So I said, well, then in other words, it's selfish. You're being selfish. He goes, well, that's what the preacher, I said, I understand, but why do you want the Holy Spirit? Really, why are you seeking the Holy Spirit? You see, saints, the Holy Spirit comes to those who are seeking a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Almighty God. That's what happens. It's an automatic must. It has to happen because that's the next step in a greater love affair with the Lord God Almighty. Is the Spirit of God comes and dwells within you. Amen? So what you ask for those things, but then think on those things. And as you're thinking about it, think about your relationship with God improving and so on. So think about it constantly. And this is something I want to just to encourage all of you to think on it and really find a schedule a time, like you're scheduling to be asking, schedule a time to think. Too many times, people do not take time out to stop and think about it, like the song says. Stop and think about it. That means shut off your phone. Get alone by yourself. Oh my, you're starting to get all nervous now, aren't you? Because we are human beings that we're constantly going. I haven't done this in a while, but for several years, I flew out to Arizona and I'd go up into Sabino Canyon. It's a good hike. And I think it's a 9-mile hike. 7 or 9 miles, I don't remember which, but it's one of those two. When you're past 7, it doesn't matter if it's 9 or 10 or 15. You're pretty wore out. But you go up early, early in the morning. It's still dark out. There's no bike riders. There's no joggers. There's no people. Absolute silence when the sun comes up. And the only thing you hear, in fact, the silence is so loud, you can hear your blood coursing past your ears. You don't realize, but right now when I stop speaking, you think it's silent in here. It is not. There's racket. And not only that, but even if you could somehow turn off everything in your home, as long as you have a cell phone next to you or in the other room, you've got your Wi-Fi, there are so many RFs running through the house. It is impacting your brain whether you know it or not. It's impacting everything. So what I'm saying is I would go there just because it was a time of once a year when I could get up there, get alone, and totally just empty, empty, empty out. Very hard to do in Connecticut. But do it anyway. Find a way that you schedule time to just stop thinking about everything under the sun and just focus. No music. Some people, they like to put on some nice, you know, instrumental. If you feel like that helps you, fine. But I find it better to have nothing. Just think on God. I'm not saying empty your brain out and do, you know, meditate. Just think on God. Think about who you are. Think about your purpose. Meditate on the Lord, the Bible says. Right? And think on the promises of God. And let that help you to develop that thinking big. Like, think about how big God is. And even though we're very little, He's made us who are very little to do big things. Because we're His children. So that's that. And then number three, dare to believe. So number one, dare to ask, dare to think, dare to ask big. Number two, dare to think big. Number three, dare to believe big. Believe God's promises. Amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 32:27. We have some really amazing words from Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 32:27. And I'm going to read that to you. And you can go home and read around it. It's very, very cool. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Remember how I was teaching you, and I really believe this, about how you pray differently? If you could pray God's own words to Himself, He asked the question. How many here thinks they can answer that? It's really a one-word answer. Is there anything too hard for me? Can you pray that? Lord, is there anything too hard for you? You see what I'm saying? You make it impossible for God to say no to you. Well, of course, he says no to that, but he's not going to say no to you. With God, all things are possible. Is that correct? Yes. Is it not true, Lord, all things are possible with you? Yes. If you can have God answer you yes 5 or 6 times, you know, then you're in the right place. The problem is we pray so negatively. Brother Bram says our prayers are so cowardly, it's a wonder God doesn't even want to do anything with us. He says it's sad. He said Christians are ruining things more than they're helping things. That's not good. So we need to be praying in a way that we're getting a yes from God, because our prayers and our belief and everything we're doing should be yes and amen, yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Is that correct? So dare to believe God's promises. Keep believing. There's times when you're going to feel like you can't believe it anymore, or you're struggling to keep your faith going. Believe anyway. Abraham had 25 years as his body got older and his wife's body got older, that everything was, naturally speaking, slipping away. It was the possibilities of having a baby was slipping away. In fact, it completely slipped away for probably a good 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. I don't know, after Ishmael was born. So it was gone. But the Bible says he continued to believe anyway. Through all the unbelief, he continued to believe it until he received it. Just keep believing anyway. Sometimes it's hard to do. This will help you. When you're doing the think about it part, as I told you about, thinking, one thing that really, really helps, and I can give you scriptures for it, but we have plenty of verses for it, but I'll just teach it to you and you can look it up. But one of the things that really helps to go from thinking about it to believing it is to, when you're thinking about it, and really when you're believing for it, picture yourself already having received it. There's something very powerful that God made. You have a mind's eye, you have an imagination, whatever it is. But picture yourself already there, already receiving it. Amen? You see what I'm saying? As Brother Bram said to the person, remember the story? You can hear it on the tape, but the person sitting in the wheelchair, he says, I'm going to keep on doing the healing line. While you're sitting there, I want you to picture yourself getting up and walking. And the person got up and ran, actually. So that's the Lord doing above and whatever you can ask or think. But here's what I'm trying to get to you. Because sometimes people get a little confused about that. Oh, I'm seeing this house. I see a house. This is a house I want. Or I see, I see my children coming to know Jesus. Saints, all of these things if it happened to you today, how many here has something in your heart that you really, really desire? But you're not experiencing it right now, right? If it happened to you right now, whatever it is you're desiring, and it's happening right now, how do you feel? Brother James, how are you feeling right now? You see what I'm saying? How you're feeling now is how you'll feel then. But if you start feeling now what you'll feel then, you'll start having what you expect then now. You're collapsing time and bringing it to you quicker because you're already in a mode or in a space in yourself where it's already done. When God said, let there be light, he wasn't imagining light. That was all happening already. But as far as he was concerned, it's a done deal. You know, what I'm trying to just share this with you, the authority has come. God has sent his authority to you to be a spoken word people, to speak it, to believe it, to ask, to trust, to have faith, and to feel it, feel good about it right now. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I mean, this is, if that's not authority, I don't know what is. You know, when he, how many believe that's authority right there, right? Praise the Lord. And it's a sign. A woman that doesn't cut her hair, lets it grow long, the Bible says, is a sign of the authority of the angels. Now, Paul's speaking prophetically, because that's truly what comes up. As a single believing sister in the truth, in the gospel, Paul is preaching to or speaking about, she herself, that one person, is representing the whole entire bride. Praise the Lord. And I just think it's weird language, except he spoke by prophecy. then it's not weird that her hair, her veil, is a symbol of an angelic authority, which is placed on Christ's head, but he turns around and he grants that the bride gets to wear it. Because whoever receives him becomes part of him and receives his authority, his right to become sons and daughters of God. Do you believe that? Sons and daughters of God can speak a world into existence and can live on it. Hallelujah. So dare to believe, and in believing, schedule time to do this, but in believing, what you're doing is you're believing is not emotional, but believing and emotions can come together and become more effective. Brother Graham says salvation, being born again is not about the emotion. He said, but you can't have it without emotion. It comes with it. All your experience, if God heals you right now of some disease or some pain you have in your body, and he heals you right now, you are not going to say, oh, thank you, Lord, that was nice. See you next week. You're going to be excited. That's why the Bible says, I will not die, but live and testify of the goodness of the Lord. Testify, you'll be excited. You can't shut your mouth. So act like it's done now. If I tell you right now, I am healed, hallelujah. That's what's happening. Amen. Oh, I hope you get this. Hudson Taylor, I find him to be fascinating. He made the statement that I really love. He says, there are three stages to God's will in your life. How many would like to know what the three stages are to God's will in your life? He says, there are three stages. The first stage is impossible. The second stage is possible. And the third stage is done. God's will. If you desire something in your life and you feel God's put that in you and it's part of you, it starts out feeling very, very impossible, but it doesn't really matter because it's going to become possible. And finally, it's going to be done. And that's because you're allowing the Lord to work in your life. You know, the Lord loves to work around where he is accepted, appreciated. He's valued. He's understood. He likes to be around positive people who are filled with love, expectation, excitement. They're going to see. They already know God's already on the scene. Amen. Do you believe that? Angels come around people who have the same type of energy like that. You must believe not only in God and not only in God's promises, but saints, you must believe in yourself the same way God does. God believes in you. He set up the whole system to trust man. He did it by demonstrating by becoming a man. And then he continues by using prophets all through the ages to show it again. And then in the New Testament, fivefold ministry, men, craziness, but God's plan. Preaching is foolish to the world, but to God it's wisdom. Because it's showing you that if God can use a man who can speak words and someone can receive Christ and be transformed, baptized and come out of the water, brand new creature and everything like that, then it's amazing. And that's God's ability is to take a man and do that. You can take a man, a woman, a child, an old person, doesn't matter, and transform the world around that person. Do you believe it? You must believe in yourself as God does. Believe in the new creation. Believe it. It's a new creation. Old things are passed away. We are too busy sometimes focused on our old stuff. But the Bible says, God said, I'll forget all that. It's not in my mind. Why is it in yours? It's not in my mind. Why is it in yours? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, number one, dare to ask big. Number two, dare to think big. Number three, dare to believe big. After you've spoken it, and you're thinking it, and you're speaking it, and that can happen just like a cycle. Speak it, think it, speak it, think it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. Believe what you say. If you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, everything you ask, as long as you believe what you ask, shall come to pass according to the words of Jesus Christ. Can you see what he was trying to do? Number four, you dream big. Hallelujah. In other words, this is just to kind of recap on the whole thing. The promised land is yours, God said. Go take it. Isn't that interesting? God said the promised land is yours, and he didn't just hand it to them, and he didn't just shove them in it. He said, now go take it. And whatever you have to do to take it, you got to do it. You have to fight. But go take it. The promises of God in the Word of God are yours. They're yea and amen, but you have to go and take it. Do you believe that? Watch here. Psalm chapter 2. This is just a verse here that I really like. It's Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Ask of me, and I will give you, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." Now, what's so interesting about that is God just simply says, "Ask of me." He didn't say what to ask, but God is saying, I'm going to give you nations and the kingdoms and the whole earth. In other words, the simple act of just asking God turns on his full potential toward you. And he's not a cheap king that says, one of the emperors that you read in the Bible says, ask of me and I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. Why don't you give him the whole kingdom? Jesus says, I'm going to give you the whole thing. You don't understand that when you start asking God in faith, you've been thinking on it, you're believing it, and you ask, he says, it's all available, whatever you need. It's all for you. It's all yours. Who shops at Big Y, BJ's? Can't shop at Sam's Club anymore. They went out of business. Who shops at these big places? Have you ever walked into a big, like a BJ's or... imagine you walk in and your father owns it. And he says, take whatever you want. Yesterday, my Esther needed a stereo for the car because that was brake. That one was busted on it. So I said, I know friends. I have friends in low places. So we went to the salvage yard. Brother Josh knows about this. Went to the salvage yard, Chuck and Eddie's. And I know James. He's a believer. He's a Christian. Great guy. Billy runs the place. But anyway, I went in there with Esther. He's like, hey, brother. And we shook hands. I said, hey, we're looking for a stereo stick in her car. And he goes, this is the one I saved for me, and I know there's another one. He goes and gets it. And he says, and I went and bought this mic, and, you can use it to talk so you can be totally hands-free. He says, so he's standing, and he pushes it all forward. And I said, how much? He goes, you can have it. Wow. And it's not the only time. I've gotten batteries, tires. You can have it. I said, no, I want to pay for it. You can have it. Anyway, what I'm saying is, that's what it is when you're in the kingdom of God. The whole kingdom is at your disposal. Asking is not the same as begging with your God. In fact, if you beg, he can't figure out what's going on because it's quite foreign. But asking is simply saying, oh, by the way, Lord, I'm going to need that. Lord, this will help me with my family. And he just says, oh, great, no problem. Here it is. There you go. Here it is. I think sometimes we're sitting there groveling and begging, and he's like, I gave you seven of them because you asked for one, but you keep asking. Here's some more. If we'd stand up and enjoy what God has granted to us, we'd start praising him and thanking him for it. So stage four is to start already praising and thanking God for what you've dreamed about. Amen? Thank him for what you've dreamed about. Amen? Ask, seek, and knock. I love this part here because sometimes when we pray, we just end and we feel like we've walked away, we've given God our grocery list, and we walked away. Don't do that. You can, of course, ask, but end your prayer the way Jesus taught by saying, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and you're amazing, God, and you're wonderful. And I thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers, and I'm so excited about the home or the vehicle or the finances or the children coming back to know you or my family members. I'm so thankful, and start praising and thanking and have gratitude about everything you've been sharing with God that is already done. Praise the Lord. And then you see God will do it. Now, here's the part that you must understand. When you do that, you are showing God that you are just as committed as he is to bringing it about. And if you're committed, then you'll remember I said, schedule a time to do to ask. Schedule a time to think on it. Schedule a time to believe. You can do that all in the same time frame if you want. That's up to you. But you must have a concentrated time, maybe your devotion time, your prayer time, whatever it is. Schedule a time that you're going to do this. And then commit to that. And commit to that and keep doing it. If you keep doing it, after a while, it'll come to you. Now, I have my business, as you know, as a financial planning with people for insurance needs. And of course, we get a list of people that come in. and it's this person, and they actually filled this out and signed it and filled in information. So our job is to call them. It's a little hard. You know, calling anybody is always hard because you never talk to them in your day in your life. And I've had anything from the range of people being extremely nice to all the way to the other end where they were extremely not so nice, if you know what I mean. It happens. They start cursing you out and everything else. But in the end, and it's the hardest part probably of everything that we do because dialing people is not very fun. But in the end, what I've learned is don't call anybody until I lay my hands on those people's names and start praying. And what I'm doing is I'm getting in the right state. I'm getting in a supernatural state before I even start calling people. And my prayer is, Lord, whoever is on this list that you have ordained for me to help, and they're going to become one of my clients, let it happen. If it's not meant to be, then that's okay. Let it just fizzle out. I'm okay with that. You know, that gives you more results in life, I've found, and committing to that and getting in the right state than anything else I know. So keep that in mind. Commit to the activities. Commit to dreaming, to believing, to asking, to thinking, but also commit to doing whatever, because when you're going through that other process, hows are going to start coming. You're going to get a phone call from somebody. You're going to be like, wow, I haven't heard from that person in a long time. You got to start thinking, why is this person calling me? How weird. Start thinking, this is part of everything happening in my life is part of what I think about the most. This person's calling me out of the blue, but I'm just going to pay attention. And so, at first, you're not going to notice it, but later you're going to start seeing connections and things going on, and it's all going to make sense. And you'll be walking like Jesus did. Because everywhere Jesus went, when we read it in the Bible, it looks like he was interrupted over and over. But he wasn't. It was all part of his vision. He was doing what he was called to do. And every so-called interruption was just part of the plan. And one thing led him to another, led him to another. That's how it's going to be in your life. Are you ready for this? And if anything, hopefully with all of this, you can realize part of your commitment is to start to let go of things that are just a waste of your time, distractions, drawing you away. Even if you have to sever from people that when you get around them, you love them, but they're just so negative and they're not getting the gospel for some reason about stop speaking that garbage, you know, do what you have to do. You can't always do that because family, you got to be with family. So just keep on being the message around them. And when they spew out something negative, follow it up with something positive. Praise the Lord. Just keep doing it. And I like what Rob said, you know, if somebody's saying something negative around the cooler, you know, the gossip talk, just say, oh, that's not something that I want to talk about. It's okay. You know, thanks very much for wanting to share. Always say something nice first. But just get out of those areas where it's just putting a cloud. Because that cloud will get on you. People are sharing their clouds with people. Here's my cloud. Have some of my cloud. Here's some more cloud. You know, you see a nice sunny person walk into an area where this person's cloud sharing, and then they walk out with a cloud. It happens. That's how you have to look at it that way. That's what's going on. So understand that one thing that's powerful about sunshine and sunlight is it can also dispense clouds. So a light person can walk into a big group of a cloud and cause a bunch of clouds to start dissipating until they disappear. You can do that. And you don't even have to say anything. I think it's better if you can speak, but if you don't have to say anything, like when I go into the store, I don't even know anybody, you know, but to me, it's like I just like to talk about how wonderful life is and I get them positive and they get all lit up. I like trying to light people up. Now, some people, you're never going to be able to do it because, I mean, they're living in several stacks of clouds. It's unbelievable how deep those clouds go. And you just can't plow through it if you wanted to. They're under the rain and the snow, and that's where they live. This is where they live. So you say, wow, hasn't the weather been amazing? Yeah, it's getting so stinking hot now. Wow. Whew. Let me just buy what I'm buying and I'm leaving because I don't want none of that on me. You see? But 8 times out of 10, people can get just brightened up. You just go and you brighten them up. You brighten up people. You are an artist. Your job is to brighten people up. So I walked into Stop and Shop. What was it yesterday? Sister, and I was sitting in the car, finagling around, and I had something I had to do. And I said, I got to get in there. I need to hurry up and get this stuff. And by the time I walked in, so Sister Raina comes walking by. I mean, literally at the door, we ran into each other. And that was so cool. Wasn't that the Lord? And it was, we just like lit up the whole place. We were just talking about God. And you can see people walking around, even, I don't know, managers or whoever. I don't know who those people were. They're like, wow, what's that excitement all about? I've never seen Sister Raina, or they wouldn't call you sister, I guess, but Raina Wallach. But she just carries the Lord Jesus around with her everywhere she goes. I think it's so cool. So it's neat to walk into this grocery store and have that happen. That's what you're called to do. And the more you can put the sunshine on the seeds of your thoughts, words, so your attitude, your feelings could be sunshine. The more you do that, the more you get to grow those crops. Amen. Does that make sense? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? So just keep in mind, don't matter what you think or ask, God's going to give you more than that. God always adds value to whatever you desire. So don't ask small, ask big. I challenge you, if God says, I'm going to give you more, then ask something crazy. Now, I recommend start small and build up, right? David killed a lion, and then he killed a bear. I guess bears are worse than lions, something like that. And then he got Goliath. Now, he never went straight to Goliath. He started with something smaller. Now, maybe when he was little, he killed a rodent that was in the house. Maybe it started with a fly, you know? So he kills a fly. He goes, wow, look at me. I'm 3 years old. I killed a fly. Woohoo. And then he was four, and he killed maybe, like I said, a rodent or something, and then or a frog, and then a rodent, and then it got bigger and bigger. So he wasn't going out killing everything, even though God called him a man of blood. But he was learning that he can start small and build up. So think on something that you feel good about, that you could see God doing and you accomplishing in life. What is something, I want you to think about right now, what is something that you would like to see happen in your life in the next 90 days, for example? So that's attainable, it's something reachable, it's something you could do in 3 months. By the time summer is right in the midst of summer, what is it that you've always desired? Right? Sometime in those 90 days, I want to get a kayak. They're like $350 to $700. I don't want to spend that money on that. Praise the Lord. So I'm banking on a spoken word kayak that doesn't have holes in it, except for where you put your feet. My son was so funny the other day. He goes, Dad, I said, what? He says, you have a hole in your shoe. I said, I do. I'm looking. He goes, Dad, how did you get your foot in there? Oh. All my jokes come back to haunt me with my children. You got a hole in your shoe? He's not falling for it. So, saints, let's lighten up the world around us. You are light. You're the light of the world. And you'll do that because you just get so excited about what your life is about, what's happening. God bless you. Let's have Sister Ann come and whoever else plays a musical instrument, and we'll just sing a few songs to the Lord. But how many here, before we do that, add water to the word, as it were, how many here would say, Brother Elijah, just raise your hand, say, Brother Elijah, this is it. I'm going to start out. I'm going to dream big. I'm going to start with something. I'm going to build on it and build on it and build on it. How many here will do that? Make that commitment with me tonight. God bless you. Father God, as we prepare to worship again and to close, Lord Jesus, we just know absolutely, Father, that you love us so much. And you said, surely I will do above and beyond, exceeding abundantly, above whatever you ask or think. That just gives such expectation and excitement in our hearts to think about, wow, I can ask anything. I can create any masterpiece I want. Every day I can make it a beautiful day if I just join in with you, Father. You're always positive, never negative. You're always excited, never dull. You're always just filled with the beautiful energy of creativity. And then you gave us that right, that authority. You created us in the same way. And the Spirit of God has come into us for that purpose. So, Father, we commit right now. We all, Lord, are making a full commitment to start believing big, dreaming big, dreaming, Lord, on good things, positive things. If there's something negative in our lives, we just believe right on top of it something more positive, something powerful. So we ask, Lord, for our lost loved ones, that you would do above and beyond what we can ask or think, that they would come to know you. Even though we think that's impossible, that's okay. Impossible becomes possible, becomes done. So, Lord, grant that. We ask for family members that are sick, or even our own illness that may be trying to plague our bodies. Whatever the physical challenge is, Lord, we believe. We dream big. We see ourselves healthy. And it is not a final sentence, but I will live and I will declare. I will not die, but I will live and declare your glory, O Father. Lord, we just pray for every person here to receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we start singing, hallelujah, Brother James is going to be speaking for us on Sunday. I trust you're going to come expecting, believing, receiving. It's all for you. And we've set the baptism, Brother Tommy, for May the 15th? 13th. That's that Sunday, right? Yeah, but that's okay. Mothers are mothers because that's when they give birth. And you're going to be baptized. Amen. Almighty God is giving birth to you, brother. So it works. Anybody okay with that? I hope so. We'll go over to the pond. It should be much better weather. We'll have the baptism. And then most mothers that I've ever talked to, including my wife, do not want to go out to a restaurant and eat. Because you know why. It is mobbed. So unless that's something you want to do, you can do that. But I think we'll have some kind of food or something, right? We'll figure it out. We're going to work on that. We'll have something that we can all come back and eat and enjoy. Well, the more that I seek you, how many believe this? The more I find you, yes, and the more that I find you.
Cup in your hands, hear your words.
love is so real, more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, overwhelming Jesus. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. Overwhelming is your love, overwhelming is your peace. The thought, Lord, the awesomeness of this whole thought, Lord, that you can speak through us, live through us, act through us, believe through us, Lord Jesus. How we thank you for that. Blessing and honor and glory is all yours. Lord, as we close, be with each person on their way home. Keep us safe for the journey until we meet again or we meet at Jesus' feet. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Are we finished, Brother James? Amen. This love is so real.
It's overwhelming. More I seek you. More I seek you.